I remember some time ago, I was likely 12 to 13 years old. It was a blistering hot August day. I was outside mowing grass. And as I passed close to the front of the house, there stood my baby sister on the porch holding a tall, cold glass of Kool-Aid. Oh yeah, Kool-Aid. I was hot, sweaty, and very thirsty. What a generous act by my sister to see that I was in need and bring me a drink. I stopped the mower and gratefully grabbed that glass. I could feel the coolness as my fingers touched the glass. I turned that glass of good redness up and began to chug it. Then there was suddenly a gag reflex, and I spewed it out of my mouth. It was horrible. It was disgusting. You see, it wasn't Kool-Aid. My little prankster of a sister had put food coloring and a lot of table salt in a glass. Oh my, what a wretched and awful surprise I got. And fortunately for her, she beat me back to the door and locked it, all the while standing inside of the door, smiling and laughing. I, of course, can laugh about it today, but I wasn't so happy at the time because I had real thirst, and getting a glass of salty water only added to my thirst. Thirst. We use that term very loosely. We say things like, I am thirsty, I was parched, my mouth feels like cotton, it's dry as a desert, I'm dehydrated. And guess what? The marketing people have been listening, because quenching your thirst is big business. Did you know that sports drinks account for about $9.4 billion of sales each year in the U.S.? That's almost double since 2015. The Gatorade brand alone accounts for 75% of the market. And if you think that is big, bottled water sales are in excess of 13 billion gallons, or $18.5 billion per year. Bottled water now outsells carbonated beverages. We are a thirsty group of people in the United States. Yes, that stuff is practically free from the faucet, and we will pay big bucks to get it in a little plastic bottle. And yes, I am guilty. Until my wife and I got married, I was a tap water guy. We inherited a water cooler that has one of those big 5-gallon jugs on top, and it was good and cold water, so I started drinking it, and it turned me into a water snob. Because once you get used to purified water and you go back to tap water, you go, ugh, because you can taste the junk that's in it. But no matter where you get your water from, water is literally the lifeblood of humans. Water makes up 60 to 70% of the human body. You are staring at almost exactly 23 gallons of water. So if you want to hide your weight, convert it to gallons and ask me how much it weighs. Oh, about 23 gallons. Doesn't sound too bad, does it? See if I can get that put on my driver's license. But did you know that blood is 92% water? The brain and muscles are 75% water, and your bones are about 22% water. We need water because we are water. A human can survive a month or more without eating food, but only a week or so without drinking water. It is estimated that the lack of clean drinking water is responsible for the death of 800,000 children under the age of 5 each year. Water is critical to life. When we look at the cross and consider thirst, we see Jesus, a man who had no food or water for over 12 hours. He had been beaten, forced to carry his own cross, and then was crucified. And with the loss of blood and bodily fluids, there was no doubt he was thirsty when he cried out, "I thirst." I cannot imagine that kind of thirst that he had. In high school, I was an athlete, but we always had water, even during two-a-day practices. I ran 3 marathons, but I was trained to hydrate in the days leading up to the marathon, and again during the marathon, I drank even more water. In the Army, I was forced to wear a heavy chemical suit and mask that covered my whole body in sweltering heat, sweat pouring out and drenching my clothes, but they taught us how to drink from our canteens through a special straw. So I can say that I've been thirsty, but never as desperately thirsty as Jesus might have been on the cross. But I have been desperately thirsty in other senses of the word. I have been dark and lonely, thirsting for affection. I have been hit so hard by the loss of a loved one, grief-stricken and empty, that my soul cried out and was thirsty for relief. I have at times utterly lost my way of life in life, not knowing where to turn or what to do. I was thirsty for answers, thirsty for direction. I have had times in my life when sin prevailed, and I had a thirst for things that young men not ought to have thirst for. And once that sin entered in my life, I was thirsty for more, and more was never enough. But having thirst isn't always a bad thing. I've had times when I've had a thirst for knowledge, when I was learning something new and exciting and I just could not get enough information fast enough. And I know this may sound sappy, but I thirst for Carla's love. If I've had an awful day, I thirst to see her, to hug her, to kiss her. If we've been apart for travels, I thirst for her presence. So thirst can be a bad thing, and thirst can be a good thing. In our scriptures, it says, after this, when Jesus knew that all was finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture, I am thirsty. Or in some translations, simply, I thirst. So when Jesus from the cross said, I am thirsty, what did he mean? Yes, we know he was human and was literally thirsty. But we certainly know that there must have been a deeper meaning. And verse 29 gives us the key to that answer. And so after this, when Jesus knew that all was finished, he said, I am thirsty. A jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of the wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. You may not know it, but the hyssop branch was pivotal to the Passover story. We know that the Israelites were captive in Egypt for hundreds of years. And when the Israelites were about to be delivered from Egypt, God was about to kill the firstborn of everyone in Egypt. Every firstborn child that were male, every firstborn animal, everything, God was going to take it. And if the Israelites wanted to escape this tragedy, if they wanted the angel of death to pass over them, hence the name of Passover, they were instructed to do this from Exodus 12. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. None of you shall go out of the door of your house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on top and sides of the doorframe and will pass over the doorway, and he will not permit the destroyer to enter your house and strike you down. The Passover was a great miracle. The Jews were safe from the angel of death, but the Egyptians, they suffered greatly. And it was this event, not the other 8 or 9 plagues, it was this event, the death of thousands of Egyptian children and livestock, that caused Pharaoh to release the Jews from captivity. And you see, Jesus at this moment on the cross was our Passover lamb. And here in a little bit, we will share in communion as we remembered that he shared his cup with the disciples. And he said at the Last Supper, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. The wine represented his blood. And as the hyssop branch was dipped into the wine at the cross and raised to his lips, It was symbolic of the first Passover as Jesus became the new Passover. It is the blood of Jesus that saves us from the angel of death. You see, it is through our repentance and our salvation that we accept the hyssop branch and his blood is placed on the doorway to our lives. And by his blood, we are no longer subject to eternal death. So when Jesus said, "I am thirsty," I think he was really saying to God, "I am ready to be the sacrifice. I am ready to drink this cup that you have for me." In the gospel, according to Matthew, Jesus prayed this in the garden on the night that he was to be arrested. He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." See, Jesus prayed, "If it is for your will for me to take this cup, I will drink it." And on the cross, he said, "I am thirsty." He was telling God that he was ready to receive the cup. He was ready to be our new covenant with God. And you know what salvation does for us? It replaces all kinds of thirst with the right kinds of thirst. When we fully surrender to Christ, he will fill our cups in ways we have never known. He quenches our thirst when we are dark and lonely. He can quench our thirst for sin. He can fill our thirst for relief, and he can fill our thirst for answers. In John chapter 4, speaking to the Samaritan woman, Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst." See, once we truly experience the living water of Christ, once we have been renewed and filled with the Holy Spirit, our cups should run over. We should be so full of God's Word that we can't help but to share the abundance of the giving water with everyone. We must continually renew ourselves in this life giving purifying water. We got to find it. We got to seek it. We got to continually allow ourselves to be full. Because if we don't seek it and we don't get under the fountain and we don't take it in, our well will run dry. You see, a marathon runner is not working off the water he drinks during the race. He or she is working off the water they have been putting in their body for weeks ahead of the race. In the army, we're constantly told to drink water, drink water, drink water, because drinking water was the key to survival in stressful situations. Because Satan will try to drag us down. Satan doesn't want us filled up and overflowing. He will do everything he can to create leaks in us. He wants to slowly drain the spirit out of us. And every now and then, on occasion, he'll just punch a big hole right through us in hopes that it just drains out in a hurry. But you see, we don't have to let this happen. We can strengthen and repair ourselves all the time by doing the following. First, we should pray. Paul writes in Ephesians, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." On all occasions. So Janice, yes, we're going to pray for you and your dog. I've had people ask me to pray for their computers. I've had people ask me to pray for things and heard other people scoff at them. He said, pray for all things on all occasions at all times. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the Lord's people. Take this home and pray. Get that email, print it out, and pray. Because if you want to stay full, if you want your fellow members to stay full, we need to pray for one another. And we need to study his word. 2 Timothy 3. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Drink from his word. Soak in that knowledge and be filled. And we have to understand that this is not a solo gig. We are all in this together. We are all called to pray together, to worship together, to study together as a congregation. Colossians 3, it says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." It is only through Jesus that we will know real peace. It is only through Jesus that we will find real hope. It is only through him that we will know real love. Only Jesus can quench our thirst. We can trade one kind of thirst for another. We can try to seek it on our own. But once you find out how refreshed that you become, how fulfilled you are through Jesus, it makes you want more. It makes you want to find him more in prayer. It makes you want to find him more through song and through fellowship and through worship, through Bible study and through communion. For much of my life, I was seeking and searching for satisfaction. I tried many ways and many things, and some of them were very ungodly. And I kept coming up empty. And even the good things I had were not as good as they could have been because I was not where God wanted me to be. Real satisfaction only came when I surrendered fully to God. My calling was to be a pastor. Your calling is something else. But when I found where God wanted me to be, when I lived my life seeking and consuming the living water, not only makes my relationship with God better, it makes all of the good things I have better. Because it makes me a better dad, a better husband, and a better pastor. Today we get to share in Holy Communion. The Last Supper was derived from the Passover meal. And the cross, the hyssop branch, the crucifixion, the opening of the tomb are all symbols of the Passover and the Exodus. They're all symbols of freedom, all symbols of what God has done for his people. We are in the season of Lent, the season of Easter. This is the season where all of this comes together. The birth of Jesus Christ is nothing without the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. His birth was a miracle. He lived his life and he performed many miracles. He talked about scriptures. He argued with the Pharisees. Christ did a lot in 3 years. But it was this that changed the world forever. And it is this that can change you forever. Because when you discover that Christ quenches your thirst, you live a new life. You seek new things. You put away the things that used to drag you down. You find new hope in all situations. You find courage when you didn't know you could have courage. You find words to say when you didn't have words to say. Because I know some of you, and I know what some of you told me you've been through. And you've been in places that you had no idea that God could use you the way they used you, because there was no way that those words came from you. They came from God. This is a life-changing event if you let it be. And I hope that you desire and thirst for holy communion with God. I hope that you thirst for communion with one another. I hope that you desire and are just so consumed with wanting to pray to your God and talk to your God and sing praises to your God. And if your cup is empty, if you find yourself in a place in life, it's never too late to turn your cup over and say, God, I need a refill. God, I need you back in my life. God, I need to be recentered. I need to be refreshed. I need to be renewed. I need to be cleansed of what I've done. And there's nothing that God cannot overcome in your life. Nothing. You're never too far from God to ever come back to the well and say, Jesus, give me a drink. I need it. And even when you think things are rolling good and things are great and can't get better, I tell you, you will be under attack. And Satan will try to punch holes in your cup. But my God is greater than any hole Satan can make. He can fill that cup faster than he can. And he can restore me and close up those holes and make me complete again. But you have to surrender. You have to say, I want to dump all of this stuff out of my cup. You have to say, Lord, I don't want this anymore. You have to repent. You have to say, forgive me, cleanse me. I'm done with that stuff. Read Solomon. Read Ecclesiastes. Solomon chased everything. He had all the money in the world. He had hundreds of wives. He had concubines. He tried everything, did everything, every food, everything, every way. And guess what he said? Without God, I've got nothing. You'll chase everything forever unless you have God. And a few good things that you do have can either whittle away and get worse because you're not right with God, or they can come together and get stronger and better because you have God. And Jesus, on that night, he sat down to share this special Passover meal, the celebration of the Jews of freedom. Freedom from oppression, freedom to live their lives under God. And Jesus said, take this bread. It is my body given for you. And he took the cup, the wine, that very blood that saved the Israelites from the angel of death is the very blood that will save you from eternal death. We don't like to talk about death, do we? But because of Christ, we can talk about eternal life instead of eternal death. And because of Christ's blood, we are covered. We are redeemed. That's what this Easter is all about. Being redeemed. Being free. Being renewed. Having our thirst quenched. And Jesus took the cup. And after giving thanks to God, he gave it to his disciples. And he said, take and drink the new covenant poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And so, Lord, we come to you and ask for your mighty power through your Son, Jesus Christ, and your Holy Spirit to act in this moment. Lord, we ask that hearts are cleared, minds are freed, and that we allow your Holy Spirit to enter into us today. Lord, we ask your blessing on these elements so that they are no longer just bread and they are no longer just juice, but they become for us the body of Christ, so that we, by taking these elements, may become the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Lord, we come to you now and lay our sins before you. Now in silence, we confess to you those things that we have done against you. For Lord, there are times we are not the people you have called us to be. There are times we have not been the church you have called us to be. There are times we've held back from you, whether it's our prayers, our time, our money, or resources. Lord, there are times there have been people in need, and just like that day on the trail, the Good Samaritan, we walk right by them because we're too busy to stop. Lord, there are times we have not been kind to our fellow Christians. There are times we have been said things that are hateful. There are times we have not been forgiving. There are times we have not extended the grace that you have given to us. Lord, we are your people, and we humbly ask you to forgive us for those times we have fallen short. Cover us with the blood of the Lamb. Clean us, redeem us, renew us, and quench our thirst. Through the power of God, his Holy Son, and his Holy Spirit, we have been forgiven. If you let it happen today, you've been forgiven. You have been cleansed, and your cup has been filled. Now take that cup, because that fountain never stops, and you can pour some into somebody else's cup that needs it, and your cup's going to be filled again. And you pour some into somebody else's cup, and your cup's going to be filled again. Because God says, the scripture says, our cup overflows. And if our cup overflows, why let it go down the drain? Take it and share it. Give it to those who need it. Embrace those who are lost and seeking and thirsty for knowledge of God. Take it to those who are grieving and are hurting and thirsting for the knowledge of relief and comfort. Take it to those who have not known love, because there are many people who are dark inside. Many people just hurting and longing for someone to love them. We saw a couple of them Thursday night. They're about this tall. Just craving for somebody's attention. Hear me. Hear my story. And it's not just the little ones, because there's adults around us that are the same way. Somebody hear me. But we carry the good news of the gospel. We carry the good news of the cross because we are free. We are forgiven and we are filled. Now let us go be full cups. Let us people be people that go and fill the cups of others and bring them to this everlasting fountain. Go now. Be God's witnesses to the great things that you have experienced. Let's be God's people. Let us be God's church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of His Holy Spirit, amen.